With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. We're gonna save the world tonight. Hello, hello. Happy New Year. Welcome to the first episode of Lean Into Clean for me live this year. Gosh, I hope you all had an amazing time. I know Christmas and New Year can be completely chaotic and hectic and delightful and all of the above. So I hope you've recovered and are now settling back into what's perhaps the first kind of working week, although some of you may have started last week. So, gosh, where are we? Now, I thought I'd talk about, as a bit of news today, New Year's resolutions. Do you do them? Do you not? If you do, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, making resolutions that are not kind of, you know, a bit airy-fairy and a bit whiffy. But I think when it comes to sustainability, when it comes to the climate crisis that we now know is getting worse and worse each week, each day, temperatures are rising, getting hottest year on records, et cetera, you know, more floods, droughts, earthquakes, et cetera. So all of that, we know that's happening. So we're getting loads of advertising for how to live in a more conscious way and how to change our lifestyles a bit. But there were a few things that we've learned at My Green Pod over the last 12, 13, 14 years that we've been, you know, putting news out into the mainstream about how people can live a more sustainable lifestyle. And what we've learned is there are six things, possibly seven now, but there were certainly six really fundamental things that people, you and I, are willing to change in our lives that have a positive impact when it comes to sustainability. And these areas are, and we've simplified it in kind of, you know, sound bites, if you like. These are what you put in your body. So what you eat and drink. Now, January is also now related to Veganuary, which is where many, many people commit to trying to have a meat-free month of January. And of course, not everybody can do that. So maybe a flexi month where you eat slightly more plant-based food than the meat or fish. But if you can go for it, Veganuary is a super, super brilliant movement that's been going on for about a decade, I think, now. We've been involved in it in the past. So if what you put in your body really matters to you, it definitely matters to the planet, because if we can reduce our consumption on, you know, agriculture that's helping towards deforestation and carbon emissions, of course, you know, the factory farmed meat is a huge issue. So if you can learn to reduce some of your you know, emissions, even if it's just for this month, by the way you eat, then please do that. So number one is what you put in your body. Number two is what do you put on your body, i.e. what are you washing your hair with, what are you using as creams, what soaps are you using, etc., etc. So what we've found is that there is a beauty industry out there that has marketed a bunch of unnecessary products to us all that we really don't actually need. And this has been heavily marketed to the women of the world. You know, you've got all these things that will perhaps make you look younger or get rid of wrinkles or whatever. And you know, men are very much bought into this lifestyle that's been forced upon us as well. And I think so. What you put on your body is really important. So if you can begin to look at more natural products. Products that are, you know, not packaged in plastic, and we're going to be talking about plastic today because our guest is very much working in that space. I'll come to that shortly. Also, the ingredients in products are vitally important. So, just to give you an idea, we talked months ago to Tabitha James-Kwan, who talked about liquid plastic being in shampoos. Now, there was some research done. Nearly 85% of the mainstream shampoos that are out there that we're probably all buying and using have liquid plastics in them. So, you know, really do your research because that is an ingredient that you probably don't want on your coating your hair because it means you have to wash your hair more often to keep the shine. But more importantly, when you're washing it off, it's going down into our water systems, into our seas, and actually creating toxicity in the oceans, which are really, really bad, the worst that they've been ever in humanity's history. And we're going to do one more, number three. So it's what you put in your body, what you put on your body, and then number three is what are you using in your home? What have you got around your body in your home environment? So these are things like cleaning products, you know, the paint on the walls, the mattress that you use. You know, are you able to consider, is it time for a change on certain things? You know, bleaches and cleaning products have, you know, horrible, horrible toxic ingredients in them. And the little small amounts that go into each bottle are actually supposed to be not too bad. But remember, if you're spraying your surfaces every day with a cleaning product, then there's a buildup of this toxicity within your environment. Then, if you're using something else that chemically is interacting with the other product that you've used, then this is creating a compounded effect. And actually, some studies have shown that most people's homes are more toxic inside than the air on the outside because of the products that we are buying and bringing into the home. So, they're my three tips for this new year, new start. Think about one product at home that you've been looking at for a while and thinking, I really should change this to a non or more sustainable, non-toxic version. Now, if you need to find out what those versions might be, you can head to MyGreenPod, mygreenpod.com. That's all we've ever done is found the best products that we can possibly find that are available in the UK and just have a look, put into the search bar, you know, whatever it might be, shampoo or, you know, detergent or, you know, washing liquid or something like that. And you will definitely see some really great non-toxic natural products that do work. And they are brilliant because we've made sure that we find the very best. And that brings me very nicely to today's guest. Now, this lady I actually met quite recently, within the last couple of years, and we keep bumping into each other since our first kind of introduction. Lara Solomon, she runs the most amazing product business. They are actually a hero on MyGreenPod. We have written about them. So if you want to find out some more information about them, it's this. But I'm just going to give you a very little bit of a lead in, which was written by my wife about Laura's company. So the headline was this. It's actually the very, very, very top headline was a positive result for the planet. The first paper pregnancy test is helping to combat plastic pollution. And then it says, period pants, shampoo bars, and deodorant sticks are just some of the ways we've been able to innovate around plastics in personal care. All caution moves, considering we only recycle 50% of our packaging in the bathroom compared with 90% in the kitchen. But what about pregnancy tests? Lara Solomon from Hoopsie, welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for coming to join us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. So, where should we begin? First of all, just tell us what a plastic-free pregnancy test is. Like, you know, what is it? What are we talking about here?
Well, most pregnancy tests that women use are plastic. They're midstream, which means you wee on them. And ours is made from, it's actually 99% plastic free. So it's the same size, so you can still wee on it, but it's made of more of a card material. So paper card, which is just much better, obviously breaks down a lot faster than plastic, but otherwise works in exactly the same way.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. So essentially it's, and just to put things into perspective, I bet there's a lot of these kits being used. I mean, how is it monitored? Is it an annual basis? Is it a lifetime? Is it monthly? I mean, what are your stats?
Well, it depends. When you're trying to get pregnant, most women use three tests every time they test because they
Yeah.
want to be doubly, triply sure.
Do they really? Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the first one is, oh my God.
Yeah.
The second one is, oh, yay, hooray. And then the
Yeah.
second one is, can I just confirm what I've done?
Yeah.
And then the third one is like the icing on
Yeah, pretty much. So
the
you'll find some people will use maybe three tests in one pregnancy, but other people might use 600. It varies dramatically on how
Yeah.
long, depends on how long they're trying for and if they've done it naturally or IVF, and it's so many different factors. And then you also get a lot of women now addicted to peeing on a stick.
Oh,
So
really?
basically, they've had a lot of miscarriages. And so
Yeah.
then once they get pregnant, even though they're going for scans and they've had blood tests and things, they're still taking a test every single day up until week 12 to just
Yeah.
reassure themselves that it's still okay.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, yeah, I can absolutely relate to that, having been in a relationship where that's happened, and it's just devastating. So I guess people just want to, mums particularly, just want to make sure that they are still, in that pregnant position. So how many pregnancies are there? How many pregnancy tests are used in a year in the UK, roughly?
In the UK, it's about 12.5 million.
Oh my God. Wowee, that is astronomical figure.
And
Okay,
that's
brilliant.
just the ones they sell in the shop. That doesn't count when you go to the hospital and you have to have a test done before you have an operation or
Yeah.
whatever.
So these are ones that are bought, because the NHS
Yeah.
actually do give these tests to people, don't they, as well?
Yeah, there's some places at sexual health clinics and places like that. Yeah.
So it could be, what, could be double that figure or
Yeah,
certainly, yeah,
easily,
easily.
easily.
Okay, so we're talking about potentially 25 million bits of plastic, single-use plastic. That are, we know what the issues are around plastic. Just so we can kind of not necessarily educate, because I know our audience are very, very bright. But what are your issues with plastic? Like, what's the reason that you've taken this on?
Well, it kind of started probably when I was much younger in terms of just not seeing the point of plastic in some items. I think for some items, definitely needed. But
Yeah.
for some things, especially when you're using it in the pregnancy test case for 5 minutes, it's like it really doesn't need to be plastic.
Yeah.
And then I used to do a lot of ocean swimming and swim in the ocean, see all this plastic, literally put it in the back of my cosy. And when I got to land, take it out and put it in the bin. And it just horrified me just seeing this on a day to day and then learning about microplastics and all this stuff that we consume without even realizing it. It
Yeah.
just, all of that just adds up to this kind of picture for me that just I just keep thinking, why do we use something when it's really not needed? Like there's other ways around it. And plastic is a really useful material, but just not for tests.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. It is useful, particularly when it comes to the NHS or any medical service around the country, for shipping, for creating, non-heavy shipping of medical products. Plastic actually has its uses, and in various other industries as well. But I think you're right. It's that single use kind of, yes, it's essential, I think, in many, many cases, but it's not essential for it to be in plastic. So the fact that you've, I mean, what was the epiphany moment for you? Like, when did the penny drop? And because firstly, I can't believe that we are still using plastic for this, because you look at all the issues around, I don't know, plastic straws or earbuds, cotton buds. It's like, surely somebody must have sat down and thought about pregnancy kits, right? But clearly not. So what was your epiphany moment? What happened?
Well, I did IVF a couple of years ago to try and get pregnant. And I joined all these Facebook groups and I kept seeing people post pictures of their tests. And it wouldn't be like one test, it would be like 10. And it would be like Monday at 9, Monday at 6, Tuesday at 9, Tuesday at 6. I'm just like, seriously, you're using all these tests? And I had no idea because I'd never tried before to get pregnant and I never really thought about it. And the more people I speak to, the more they think, I've never thought about it either. I just know that I need a test. So I go to the shop and buy it or buy online, whatever. And it's just one of those things, a bit like straws, where I'm only using one. Doesn't matter. It's only one, it's small. And I think it's that whole thing. And basically, my IVF didn't work, but I just could not get this picture out of my head of all of these tests. And I just thought, this is mental. Why hasn't anyone done anything about it? And the more and more I looked, no one had. And I just thought,
wow,
something needs to be done.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love these kind of just magical moments that our consciousness just becomes suddenly aware of something. And then, you know, we're able as human beings to then kind of manifest it and create it and turn it into something tangible. And that's so brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. So let me ask you, let's go backwards a little bit, pre-Hoopsie. And incidentally, what's Hoopsie? I mean, what's the connection there with the name and the kit? Is there anything particular in the name?
Well, when I was thinking of the name, it was really hard because obviously you've got to find the name, the website address, social medias, all that kind of stuff. So came up with the word hoop, which is a Dutch word for hope. And when you're taking a test, I think there's so much hope. I either hope I'm not or I hope I am.
Got it.
And so that's kind of where we got the hoop bit from. And then added the S because then hoops, which kind of felt like when you're trying to, on your fertility journey, it's all about jumping through hoops. So that's what it feels like.
Right.
And then I just added the Y because it just kind of rounded it off nicely. And that's how I got to Hoopsie. But also I wanted something that wasn't really babyish and wasn't, because with a pregnancy test, not everyone wants to have a baby, and so you don't want something that says baby in it. And so it's quite, it's hard to make something that's generic that could go either way. That was another part of the consideration.
No, nice, nice, nice. I love it. And how long have you been trading? Like, how long have you
about 18 months.
About 18 months, okay. So we're going to go to a commercial break in about 3 minutes, but I'm hoping that gives you just enough time to maybe start this bit. So what's your background? Before you were doing Hoopsie, what were you about before?
Oh, well, originally I started out working in marketing, and then I started my first business in 2004, which was a mobile phone sock cover. Sounds kind of crazy, but
no, not at all. They were all the rage.
Millions of them. They were all the rage.
Well done.
And then I had a social media agency, which I sold. Then I ran a pet products business in Australia for 4 years. And then started a poncho towel business for adults. Then I had a personalized children's book business, which I sold. And then I started Hoopsie. So it's always kind of been entrepreneurial, and I really like product businesses. I like the tangibility.
Serial entrepreneur. I mean, that's amazing. Is this the one? Is this the business that's really doing it for you? Do you feel
definitely.
Like you found your purpose and your
Definitely. Pregnancy tests are just the start. My goal is to I want to be able to eliminate plastic from all single-use testing devices,
right.
Which is humongous, like 25 million kilos of plastic every year goes into landfill globally from tests like, you know, not pregnancy, just pregnancy, but drug tests and diabetes tests and ketones and, you know, COVID, all these tests. It's just crazy. And it's just not needed.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that phenomenon with the masks, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which was just, I mean, it was just diabolical. And all those masks have just ended up in the seas and, you know, in landfill and et cetera. Okay. Thank you for that. So what I want to do is I want to come after the break, I want to come back to you and ask you specifically about what you mentioned about IVF. Not to necessarily get into your personal story about it, but it seems to be that this is, you know, there are so many women out there that are trying to get pregnant, having to go through IVF. Of course, they're going to need these pregnancy tests more than anybody else. So can we come back to that as a start of the conversation? After now, we're just going to go to the UK Health commercial break. See you in a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. We're here with Lara Solomon, who is the founder of Hoopsie, the plastic, nearly plastic-free, 99% plastic-free pregnancy test. We were just talking about who's the clientele. Obviously, it's women. I'm sure. I don't. Do men buy pregnancy tests? They probably do for their wives.
Yeah, they do actually. Yeah.
But we're really talking about who's your kind of main customer. So IVF you spoke about. What do you want to tell us about the IVF and your perfect customer and the difference that they would make by buying your product in terms of what they might be using?
Well, I think our perfect customer is someone that cares about the planet and the environment. It's quite interesting when women or a couple decide to have a baby or start trying for a baby, suddenly their focus moves from what necessarily they're doing now to what's happening in the future. We're bringing a new life into the world. And what is that world actually like that we're bringing the life into? And what's it going to be like in, say, 20 years time when they're an adult? And so it kind of brings that environmental factors and the climate situation to the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And so it's a really good time to actually start looking at all of that. And the things you were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, what you put on your skin and what you eat and what's in your home, all of that affects your body, affects your hormones, and affects your fertility. So sometimes I think people think that the environmental problems that we have are just something for someone else to deal with, but actually it affects every single person individually, whether you know it or not. And so your fertility is one of those things, and infertility is on the increase. And so with our tests, what we're trying to do is reduce the amount of plastic that's put into the planet, not just through manufacturing, but also the actual end rubbish that goes in the bin. And that will then reduce the amount of microplastics that appear in the water, in the air, in the food. And obviously it will take time to get there, but that's really what we want to do, is to appeal to people that are now looking to the future and want to have a different planet for their children.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm sure there's many people at home clapping you for that, because it's absolutely right. And I can totally relate to that, and I'm sure many of us can. I mean, there was some big data research done across the Western Territories, UK and US and Australia and various places like that. And they did find that some of the most significant changes that people have in their lifestyles is when mums become pregnant. I remember with our first daughter, who's now, she's going to be 8 actually next week, a couple of weeks, sorry. I remember Katie going around the house and just literally clearing out like every toxic product that was there. And just I remember going to the bin one day and looking in and going, okay, yeah, I've got it. I've got the message. It's just brilliant. So no, you're absolutely right. I'll tell you, there's another story of, in fact, no, I won't, I'll share it another time, but it's interesting about these life changes and happening in significant moments. I mean, you're catching people kind of, yeah, right at that first point of change, yeah. Aren't you? And yeah. And how's it all going? So you're 18 months into the business. I mean, you know, presumably the dream would be for something like, you know, I don't know, Boots and the NHS to adopt this type of, you know, where are you on the journey?
Well, I have had meetings with Boots. I've had 4 meetings with them, but they're very risk averse. They said, go and sell it in another store, like as in another chain store. When it sells there, then we'll think about taking it. So it's kind of really disappointing, because, you know, a lot of these big corporates and big retailers say, oh, we care about sustainability, we care about the planet, blah, blah, blah. And when it actually comes down to it, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I find the most frustrating. That's what I found the most frustrating definitely over the last 18 months is you hear all the stuff in the media, but when it actually gets to the crunch, they don't necessarily want to do it. And it just depends on who the buyer is. And it's so many factors. So what we're actually, although we're selling in the UK, which is it's going okay. I mean, I'd like it to be more. And we started selling some eco stores, which is great because that really we're getting people at the right point of purchase. But we're actually going to start selling in the Netherlands and Belgium in April because Europe seems to be much more embracing of sustainable products and of that whole sustainable lifestyle. So I'm hoping that we can have a much bigger impact there, and then that will filter back to the UK.
No, that's brilliant. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that a lot of the time, and I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, these big machines, these big monsters, these big supermarket and high street chains, they don't actually care. What really drives change is customer behavior. And, so if anybody's feeling inspired to, hit Boots and tell them about Hoopsie and tell them to get them in stock, do. You can also buy them pregnancy kits on Hoopsie's website. There's a subscription model, I think, and we've got them on My Green Pod, so you can get them there because we've partnered with them in an affiliate type way, just for transparency. No, that's good. And I think half the time it's not down to the individuals, which is where I was going with this. Our government are absolutely rubbish when it comes to ingraining sustainability as a lifestyle choice. They backtrack, they're backpedaled, they don't care. All they care about is making money, keeping economies stable. This economy, if it's kept stable, is going to kill us. It's that simple. So people really need to wake up to that fact. So sorry, I'm on my soapbox for a minute, but that's what I'm here to do. Lara, because I'm going to leave people just with that thought about what they can do in their own lifestyles to challenge, and not to forget, guys. Pregnancy tests are made of plastic, which is actually contributing to the fossil fuel industry. It's oil that makes the plastic. And because we're transitioning from what we would, normally understand as petrol and other ways of oil, this oil is turning into white oil and is being put into consumables. So be really understand that you are actually feeding a very, very toxic environment by buying into anything that is underwriting fossil fuel industries. But anyway, Lara, I always ask my guests to bring forward a couple of songs that are either a soundtrack to the climate crisis or a soundtrack to their lifestyle when it comes to the way that they're living around sustainability. So can we go with your first song choice? What have you chosen and who's the artist?
Okay, so my first choice was Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift.
Nice. Okay, so we're gonna hear Taylor Swift's Wildest Dreams song and then we'll come back to Lara afterwards. Stay tuned and hope you enjoy the song. Ah, welcome back. Ah, what a beautiful record. Lara, why did you choose that? What does it speak of to you?
Well, I am a bit of a Taylor Swift fan secretly, but also with this song, it's all she's talking about. Nothing lasts forever, and she's talking about summer and how summer has gone, and I just feel like that's a lot of what's happening in terms of the planet, in terms of this climate crisis that we're in at the moment, and I think often we remember this stuff, and actually this happened last night. I was chatting to my brother and we were remembering things when we were young, and we realized that actually a lot of that stuff just doesn't happen now. And it was to do with like the environment. And it just, I guess I see it as a bit of a reminder that, you can't just sit there and do nothing. You need to take action. And whether action is buying a shampoo bar instead of a bottle or a paper pregnancy test instead of a plastic one, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go out and march on the streets, but you need to do something because otherwise it's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I absolutely agree. And just to back chat, we are big Taylor Swift fans in our house. I would say that one of my family members is definitely a super fan when it comes to Taylor Swift. She's 15, 16 nearly. Anyway, so I've got a Taylor Swift sticker on the back of my car that she very kindly sent me there. And so now I get people saying, "Do you know you've got a Taylor Swift sticker on the back of your car?" I'm like, "And what's wrong with that?" But I love her as an artist because of just she won't accept the status quo. So I think she's a brilliant advocate and example of somebody that just won't accept things as the way they are because they're not right. They're not how they should be. And she's very much done that in the music industry. So, all right, well, let's talk about what do you do in your life then? You know, away from business, what's in your little kind of green book of cool stuff that you do that makes you feel good about yourself when it comes to the environment?
I love a beach clean. I find them absolutely addictive. I know it sounds a bit mental, but
I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
I was living in Sydney for 20 years and I used to head down to the beach most days with a plastic bag, fill it up with rubbish. And I find that the more people that see you do that, you make an impact, even though you think, oh, I'm just collecting one bag. But people do start to join in, and I really like that effect as well. So that's probably, I feel a massive sense of achievement when I do that, because you can actually physically see what you've done, and I love that. Otherwise, it's about products. Like a few years ago, I actually had a different business, a beauty business, and I learned all about, you know, the products and how they affect your skin and everything. At the time, my mum was going through cancer, and so basically switched from anything like chemically to all organic natural stuff. Yeah. And that's something that I see as really important in terms of what you put on your skin. And so many people don't realize that the skin is your biggest organ. So you worry about other things like drinking and your liver and your kidneys and stuff, but actually putting what you put on in terms of washing is so, so important and makes a massive impact to your life. And I just think that that's so important. That's something I'm really passionate about. But I try and persuade other people. So like presents are often things that, you know, will persuade them to go down that path. Like I think nearly everyone I know has been given period undies at some point or another, because that's something that I, you know, just think is much more sustainable than using sanitary products.
Yeah, no, I think that's brilliant. I think that's lovely, lovely soundbite. And thank you for that. Thank you for caring enough to say it as well, because, you know, the beauty industry and the products industry, you know, they don't think about anything really other than how much money they're going to make from this. And it's, you know, it's such a false economy system. And that's why we at My Green Pod, you know, my wife, Katie, is a judge on the Natural Beauty Awards, has been for years, really knows about ingredients. And we're really strict. I mean, you know, if somebody comes to us and says, you know, I've got this, you know, sustainable product, you know, well, firstly, we'll look into it, look at the ingredients and everything else. And even if there's something like perfume there, and like, well, what's in the perfume? I don't know. It's just to make it smell nice. Well, if you don't know, that tells me it's probably a toxic ingredient. So therefore, we can't have you on the website. You know, it does go down to that kind of much detail. And no, thank you for that. It's absolutely brilliant. And when it comes to family, I always ask this question about families. I'm sure you've got children in your family circle. How do you get them involved? How do you get family and, you know, parents and, you know, brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews? And what's your kind of, are you the voice person for sustainability in your family dynamic?
My brother's actually very into sustainability as well. Right. So it's not just me. Like just this week, actually, we went to the toy project in Kent, in Archway in London, and bought secondhand toys, because obviously after Christmas is a great time because everyone's taking them back. And it was funny because as we were walking back with this Barbie camper van, which my niece has got, he said, I can't wait to bring all this rubbish back to the toy project and get rid of it again.
It's a bit like us with charity shops.
Yeah. So that's it. Love a good charity shop. Yeah. And I think that's, I've got another brother who's got two children, and he says, don't buy me new books. Secondhand is great. That's what I want. Yeah. And so I guess in terms of influence, it's all about, I think it's by leading by example. And, you know, when you go out, I will pick up rubbish and the children will pick up rubbish with me. And, you know, and some people are like, oh, we shouldn't let them do that. And I'm like, but we'll wash our hands afterwards. It will be fine. It doesn't have to be horrible. And obviously, if it's in dog poo, we won't pick it up. But, you know, but I think it's just about showing that, you know, like even just simple things like I'm wearing the same T-shirt as I wore yesterday. Well, I didn't do anything yesterday that makes it stinky. So it doesn't actually need washing.
Yeah.
And teaching children those kind of things as well, which I think is really important.
Yeah, Good for you. Good for you. We'll come back to that because there's some really lovely topics of conversation there. So we're going to go to another commercial break. It's that time, UK Health commercial break. We'll be back. Lara and I will be back chatting away in a moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm in conversation with Laura Solomon from Hoopsie, the 99% plastic free pregnancy kit. I just want to ask you one thing that I might not have shared with the audience. So the 1% of plastic in your product, what is it, and how do you get around that? Is it easy to tear off or rip off, or, you know, what is it?
Well, it's the bit where the results show. It's the bit under where the results show. So it's not possible to remove it. It's like a thin layer of nail polish. So it's not the easiest. Okay. Yeah, it's tiny. I mean, to get put in context, the test weighs about 2 grams, and that piece of plastic is 0.02 grams. So it's just teeny, teeny. But excuse me, one of the things we have done is we've identified a way to get rid of it. Yeah. So that's going to be the next product that we'll bring out, is a plastic-free compostable test. But that requires regulatory approval because it's different materials. So it will take a bit of time. It probably will take us 18 months to 2 years to get it out.
So just to be clear then, the 99% is paper or card. So yeah. What would you do with it when you finish with it? And is it basically that it has such a tiny amount of plastic that it decomposes very quickly, or does it go into recycling, or presumably so?
You can put half of it, the half you haven't weed on can go into recycling, but you can't put things in recycling with body fluids on them.
Can you not?
No. Little tip there.
Fair enough.
So, something about, yeah, contamination and germs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
The other end, so the bit you have weed on, that can go in, that goes in the bin, and yes, obviously goes into landfill, but there is such a tiny amount of plastic in there that it's not going to take the 30 plus years that the current tests take to break down. It's going to break down a lot more quickly than that.
Yeah, great. And cost, like, how do you compare to current pregnancy tests?
We're the same or cheaper than Clear Blue. So
but amazing. That's the go-to brand, right? The Clear Blue.
Yeah.
So much plastic involved in that. Wonderful. Thank you. So any of you listeners out there, any husbands that know their wives are in IVF or trying to get pregnant, go and treat them to something that's a nice positive gift. And those of you mums, expectant mums, or people trying for babies, go, please do get them. You can connect with Hoopsie at Hoopsie, Hoopsy, on Instagram. And what's your biggest social platform? Is it Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram. Yeah. So we're Hoopsie Co. on Instagram. But yeah, we're on Facebook and TikTok.
Yeah, Hoopsie Co. Yeah. That's right. So it's Hoopsie Co. with a CO at the end. And then your website. And as I said, you can find about Hoopsie on My Green Pod. We did a great article in our last magazine. And I think the other thing to say is that, you've mentioned other products, but presumably you need to get this one, get some real traction with this one before you can begin to start developing new products. So, if people can get behind Hoopsie and support it, it'd be greatly appreciated. Even if for now you can just follow Hoopsie on Instagram and share with your friends and anybody that you know. I'm sure there's people around you that could use this product. So thank you for that. The other thing is, whilst I'm on a bit of a shout out, please do connect with us at My Green Pod. So all of our social media is at My Green Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, etc., etc. So don't forget to follow us, because then you can stay up to date with things. Now, you've mentioned a couple of products in the pipeline. You mentioned that one that was completely compostable. What else have you got? What else is the female Einstein brain working on?
Well, ovulation tests, kind of obvious, because they kind of go with the pregnancy test. And we've had quite a lot of people ask for them. So that's also something that they're actually ready to go now. But it's been a case of, we want to get the first product is a bit more established before we bring that out. But then we'll also be looking at other hormone tests. So things like drug tests, things like chlamydia, There's lots of tests you do when you are pregnant with a baby, and so those kind of tests. So it basically, once we've got the new technology worked out, we can pretty much do any lateral flow tests. So that would include COVID tests. We wouldn't go into all of that ourselves, but we would license that for someone else to produce. But it then means that we can make a massive global impact. So
yeah,
because yeah, with we can meet that goal of eliminating single-use plastic from testing.
Yeah, amazing. And you know, I know you mentioned COVID, so I'm just gonna just talk to you for a second about that. So Katie, who's obviously the researcher in our house that finds out loads of stuff, I think she just literally saw an Instagram post, and it was about, many of us have been ill over Christmas. There's been some really nasty bugs around. There's been COVID, there's been flu, there's been stuff that the doctors don't even know what it is yet, that kind of stuff. I was down with it for about 6 weeks. I was so ill, but thankfully recovered now. Apparently in Germany, there were these tests that have multiple, it was very much about, you know, viruses. So they have a test. It's got COVID test, a flu test, and, you know, common cold test or something like that. It's all built into one. You do your test, and then it tells you which version of the illness you've got, which actually can be quite useful if you need to keep yourself away from other people if it's viral, etc., etc. Could we get somebody in the UK to do something like that? Because it's cost something like, it was like £1 or something, whereas in the UK they're like 12 quid. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's very easy. All it is the bit that the results show up on, you just put more lines of antibodies. So when the fluid goes over the antibodies, it reacts with it if it's there or not. So it's just more lines. So it's totally easy to do, but the challenge at the moment is they're just changing the IVDR regulations around home testing kits. And so to get anything added to a test that you've already got in the marketplace in terms of the approval, you can't get done till next year. But to do a new test from scratch will take you 12 to 18 months. There's massive backlogs with the regulatory approval people. So that is going to be that's the challenge. That's what's probably what's delaying things.
Yeah, okay. Well, if there's anybody out there that's further down the line with this and wants to switch from the plastic version of it to a paper version, get in contact with Lara. You can reach her through our Instagram and on our website and stuff, or you can email us at UK Health, info at UK Health. So we got 5 minutes left. This time seems to fly when I'm having just brilliant conversations with people, so I'm sorry about that. I want to get your second song in, and then we'll come back to you just for some closing wisdom. What's the second song you've chosen?
I've chosen It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls.
Oh, I love this record. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, great, let's hear it. Well, that record would definitely be in my top 10. So thank you for bringing that masterpiece. Why did you choose that?
Well, A, it's a great song to dance to. But B, also, I think when it comes to the environment and climate change, that it is also a gender issue. So a lot of things are, you know, well, we know that men generate more greenhouse gas emissions than women do. Lots of things are, decisions are made by men, not made by women. And I think that's very true in terms of, like, I really believe that the way we're going to, not necessarily solve, but improve the situation is through private companies. And when we look at investment in private companies, it's nearly always men that make the decision. And so we just need to, I guess, bring more awareness to that. And then the other thing I always think when I imagine these men raining down from the sky, it makes me think, what else is there? Like, rather than water, like, you've got people and all the stuff that comes with people. And I just kind of imagine that visually coming down and just hitting the ground. And then where does it go?
Yeah, I love that visual. And you're absolutely right. I wholeheartedly agree with you about the gender equality. Yeah, so, well, look, we are sadly coming very closely to the end of our show. So I always ask my guests if you'd like to leave a piece of yourself, a piece of wisdom, a piece of an insight, an aspiration, an inspiration, anything that you'd like to close with, so people can you can leave people with something of you.
Oh, my goodness, that's such a big question. I could be here for like another hour. I mean, one thing I was thinking about is that I know that sometimes at the beginning of a new year, people have New Year's resolutions, and one of them might be that they want to change their consumption habits. And if you are doing that glass jar challenge, you know, where you put all 1 year's rubbish in a glass jar and then Instagram it like crazy at the end or whatever, you can't fit the plastic pregnancy tests in a glass jar. So you need to make these changes. And I think the biggest thing that people can take away is that making a switch, it might seem like a mentally hard thing, but once you've done it, it's so easy. And it's like shopping bags. You know, everyone's like, oh my God, I've got rid of my shopping bags. But now it's become a no-brainer. And I just think you just have to make that change. Just do it.
Absolutely brilliant, Lara. It's been a delight. I think you're amazing. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for trying to change the world one pregnancy test at a time. It's absolutely fabulous. Please do go out and support Lara's company. You know, we've got to change the current status quo model when it comes to these things. So Hoopsie Co on Instagram, Hoopsie the website, on MyGreenPod you can find out more. Get the products, if not for you, for people that need them. And thank you, Lara, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to connecting with you again very soon in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun, and have a great 2024, everyone.
Yeah, agreed. So as we do, we're going to not change the dynamic of ending the show, because I think it would be rude to. As you know, we always end with a bit of selfless or shameless, depending on the way you want to look at it, promotion. We're going to end with the track Save the World by me singing it in partnership with the Swedish House Mafia and Greta Thunberg. It's a song that raises money for the most affected people in areas around the world when it comes to the climate crisis. These are young people, these are youths, these are people that don't have access to Wi-Fi and, you know, silly things that we take for granted. So this is Save the World by Jarvis Smith featuring Rita Mora. Get it on your playlist. Please play it. Please play it as often as you can, and let's help raise money for MAPA. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.